So the epistle for the eighth Sunday after Pentecost is taken from Romans chapter 8. Brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you shall die. But if by the Spirit you mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. For whosoever are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again in fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption of sons, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. For the Spirit himself giveth testimony to our spirits that we are the sons of God, and if sons, heirs also, heirs indeed of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Luke chapter 16. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. There was a certain rich man who had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said to him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for now thou canst be steward no longer. And the steward said within himself, What shall I do, because my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship? To dig I am not able, to beg I am ashamed. I know what I will do, that when I shall be removed from the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. Therefore, calling together every one of his Lord's debtors, he said to the first, How much dost thou owe my Lord? But he said, 100 barrels of oil. And he said to him, Take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, How much dost thou owe? Who said, 100 quarters of wheat. He said to him, Take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward for as much as he had done wisely, for the children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of light. And I say to you, make unto you friends of the mammon of iniquity, that when you shall fail, they may receive you into everlasting dwellings. Please be seated. May be enabled to live according to thy will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. As I mentioned in the announcements with the society, we had our election to a new superior general and his two assistants for the next 12 years. So certainly we pray for them to guide the society in this crisis in the church. It was interesting in Father LaRue's last newsletter from the seminary, he talked about this whole idea of the election of a superior general, a new superior in a religious congregation. And it was interesting, I'll quote for you. He says, an elective chapter in a religious society is an important moment that can't be treated as a horse race open for betting. This event is a solemn occasion for a religious society because it is a particular moment of grace. He references the idea of a horse race because some people were taking their bets on who would be the next superior, which is sad to see. You know, from that, but I think it's important that he talks about how important that it is. It's a solemn moment. Because yes, it is a fact of now you have a new superior, you have one that is going to be guiding then the religious community. So it is something that was very important for us. A moment of grace. And that is why we spent the time in prayer, praying for this general chapter. We had the Mass that was offered, and what Father Begner had asked for the United States is to offer the Gregorian Masses 30 straight days for this intention. And so we do our part. We try to handle what we can by our prayers, by our sacrifices, in asking from God this guidance and this help. And so that's where we have to continue praying for the society itself. Father LaRue, in his newsletter, if you haven't had a chance, I do encourage you to read that. But he also, in his newsletter, he brings out kind of the raison d'etre, or the reason of being for the society. And he talks about the formation of priests. He says, the immolation of his priests to the glory of God. He says, God reigns by the cross of the vexilla regis affirms. And so he brings out the whole idea of the society and what it was created for. And it was created to form priests, to give to you the traditional Mass, the traditional sacraments, to bring these things to you. But again, that is what the Archbishop wanted to form in terms of a society, is a society of priests. And so that's where then, obviously, Father LaRue, in being at the seminary, that is where they are forming the priest. And so he talks about the importance of forming the priest, that they understand the idea and the sense of the virtue that they need to practice. And from that virtue, well, then therefore, yes, they're able to try to give that to you. Because again, we mention it time and time again, no one can give what they do not have. And so therefore, they have to work on their sanctity to be able to try to give that to you. And that was something that also the new superior general, in the first kind of interview that they had with him, he also emphasized that point of the priesthood, the sanctity of the priesthood. They need to work on their own sanctity first and foremost. And that is how then they were able to give that. So he talks about that and being able to then give that to the faithful themselves, that holiness, that sanctity that they need to be striving for. And so that is where then it comes up with the idea of doing penance by fidelity to their duty of state, you know, obviously for the priest, us being faithful to our duty of state, then all the more so, all of us trying to work on that idea. What is asked of me? What do I need to try to do? So we look at our state in life. If we're married, well, then our obligation to our spouse, obligation to our family, our children. Obviously, as a religious, the obligation that we have to our duties that we have, that faithfulness to that, that fidelity to that. That is how then you will sanctify your soul. And so that brings us to the idea, obviously, of the need of vocations. That was one of the things that I mentioned to you. Will be a main focus of our pilgrimage. That pilgrimage that we make in August, we're hoping to then try to awaken vocations of souls willing to give themselves to God. Because one, we see in the work of the society itself the need for priest, the need for the extra help going out into the missions and different things. I mean, there's many chapels that, yes, they don't have daily mass, they don't have that opportunity. One of the reasons for that is because we don't have enough priests to be able to provide that. I mean, even though the society is over 600 priests, it is worldwide, it has many chapels, it has many centers that it goes to. There is a lot of work that is out there, and so we do need more vocations. And so normally at this time we try to help to prepare ourselves for our pilgrimage. By speaking on it, by understanding the true idea and the sense of what is a pilgrimage, you know, we've talked about that in years past, given the example of some of the most famous pilgrimages like Santiago itself. This whole idea of going to a holy place to give honor and glory to God. And so that's where St. Paul tells us today, live according to the flesh and you shall die, but by the Spirit you shall live. And so it's the Spirit of God is what directs us toward the actions that we do each day. And so if we learn from our lives that we're living according to, say, the flesh, well, then naturally we're going to die. But if we try to live according to this idea of the Spirit of God, well, that is what will bring to us life everlasting. That is what will help us to live our life pleasing to Almighty God. So it's interesting to see that the Archbishop, when he talks about a vocation itself, he said it is not a result of a miraculous or extraordinary call, but rather the blossoming of a Christian soul that is attached to its Creator and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, by an exclusive love and shares his thirst to save souls. I think that sums up very well then this idea of what is a vocation. And so yes, it's not going to be some extraordinary call at one point in someone's life. It is something that, yes, as he says, the blossoming of a Christian soul. So that means it's going to be something that is over time. A progression in that soul. And that is where then as families you have to try to foster that in the home to give them that, in a sense, that fertile ground in order to then be able to have a vocation. Because if you don't do that, if you don't give that ground at home, vocations will not come because, again, as he says, it's not some miraculous call that they receive once in their life and then, okay, now I have a vocation. No, it is something that must be built upon throughout their lives. And that formation starts at home, and from home, then it continues on. And that obligation, obviously, then the school has to try to help to foster that in the setting at school. But then again, we realize we're limited in what we can do, because once the child goes back home, well, then it depends on how the home life is to see if that what they receive at school is in some ways contrary to what they have at home. So that's why it's so important for you to understand that idea. And that's why I say I think it's a very beautiful sentiment that the Archbishop gives to us and helps us to see of what a true vocation is. Granted, we have heard at different times that a vocation is a miracle, and the reasoning for us saying that is it's a miracle that someone can follow vocation in this modern world. But it's not a miraculous call at that one moment. No, it's something that is built upon. And that is something that, as I say, you families have such a big part in. What is your home life like? Will it allow for that vocation to come to fruition? Will it allow them to hear that call from God? And that call from God comes at many points in their life. I mean, granted, we can look at the different opportunities that someone has to receive a grace, and that grace is something that is built upon. You know, think about souls that go on a retreat. They may receive that call from God because of the grace of that retreat, but normally the retreat masters will always remind them and tell them, it's like, okay, well, now go back, do your duty of state, and maybe after a year, then you can come to see about a vocation. It isn't something that the next moment that they say, okay, well, next month, why don't you go to the, you know, the seminary or to the convent or to the monastery. No, they realize that that zeal from that retreat may be short-lived. And so therefore they tell them, okay, now the encouragement is keep living that spirit. Do you have that spirit? Will that spirit be here 6 months from now? Will you still have that same desire later on? To ensure that it is not just something that is a moment, it is something that is deep within them, and that they understand that, they understand the obligation that they have. And so the same thing for our pilgrimage this year, the idea is to help to awaken vocations to that, to the sense of, is it my vocation in life to give my life to God? Is to help them to see that. And so again, it's not like just after the pilgrimage, everyone runs to the religious life. No. It is to build that now. But as I say, that is what you families should be trying to build also. You build that at home, and so that therefore the message that they receive at school is the same that they receive at home. And that we help in that work. But as I say, if they go home to a contrary life, well, what good is it that they hear at school? It won't be anything that will then come to fruition for that soul. And that's where we do. We have to try to understand that. So as I say, I mean, just one retreat or one pilgrimage is not going to do it. It is the blossoming of that Christian soul for their love of God and to save souls. And I think that's an important point when you look at that. You know, why will someone want to give their life for God? It is to help other souls. When you think of the monastery down in Silver City, you think of the convents, you think of their lives that they give their life to God for other souls, to help other souls. Yes, they can have kind of, you know, what is their reason of being too, whether they're a teaching order, whether they're, you know, a cloister or whatever, it all boils down to them trying to work and trying to help save souls. And obviously the same idea for the priesthood. We're here for souls, to help save souls. And so that is where then when we look at it and think about vocations, why is there such a lack of vocations? Well, in today's world, everything is about the individual. What do they want to do? How do they want to live their life? I mean, that is what is promoted out in the world today. So that's why vocations run contrary to the spirit of the world. And that's why we remind you that it's so dangerous for you to allow so much of the spirit of the world into your homes, because it will kill that sense of giving your life for God, a willingness to give your life for God. And so that reflection comes for all of us. I mean, that is something that we have to try to understand and to realize. But as I say, I think what the Archbishop says is so true. It is the blossoming of that soul, and that blossoming will take a long time. I mean, just as we see with flowers growing or, you know, plants or different things of nature, it will take a while for it to blossom. It won't happen overnight. And so that becomes the obligation of the families, the schools, all of us involved. But that's what's so important for us now, is to pray for these vocations. And so that's something that is helpful to us. I'll read to you also what Bishop Tissier de Malleray, when he wrote his biography about the archbishop, he gives what he considers kind of some main factors for vocations. And again, I mean, it's not an application for every single soul or different one, but I think it's a good reminder to us of some of the things that are, yes, that are necessary. He said, a truly Catholic family, prayerful and mortified, it kindles a spirit of sacrifice and a sense of the common good. Well, you big families know that. There has to be that sense of common good in the family for the family to run smoothly. I mean, if it's an idea of everyone, it's a matter of, I just take care of myself and that's it, well, certainly the family's going to have some struggles in getting along. It'll be a free-for-all at the dinner table at that point. And so, no, there has to be that sense of a common good toward the family, toward others around you, the individuals. But I think that's where he says, a truly Catholic family, prayerful and mortified. So he talks about no luxury things, no television. And this is obviously Bishop Tissier mentioning the things that he feels will help then vocations grow. And so he said, it kindles a spirit of sacrifice and a sense of the common good. He said, education by the father of the family to the love of God in one's homeland, to combat for these two ideals, to the knowledge of counter-revolutionary heroes. So he's trying to help us to see we have an obligation to the love of God, but then also, yes, to a large extent, to our homeland. He said, apostolic youth movements that offer models of young apostles to imitate and provide young people with apostolic activities, the whole sense of Catholic action, for them to see that they need to understand their faith, defend their faith, live their faith. All of these different things are something that is also a means to try to help the young go to that next step after, say, they leave school and then go on. He said, the example of priests, exemplary in their piety, their availability to hear confessions, their presence among the students, their ability to understand young people, their priest, the ideal. He says, the priest is another Christ. Yes, that comes back to us to look in a mirror. Are we giving that example? Are we helping the children to see that? I mean, yes, that's something that we have to reflect upon. That is why we have our days of recollection, is to reflect on our vocation. Are we living our vocation? Are we living it properly? Are we pushing our duties aside because we want to do other things? I mean, it's something for us to definitely think about and to see where we fall short. Then finally, he says, retreats preached in schools are spent in silence in some monastery for their first communions, confirmations, graduations, retreats in which the vocation is presented to help young people to orient themselves and choose a state of life. That is why we also encourage our children, as they get to their junior and senior years, to make a retreat. This is a perfect opportunity for you to think about your life, the choices that you're going to make next. I mean, it's a perfect time for them. And it's something that we need to think about. We need to encourage in the families too, to help them to make a retreat. As I said, it's not like one retreat is going to be, okay, here's their vocation. But no, it helps them to think about the path that God has chosen for them. And again, that's what we have to keep coming back to. It is a calling from God. God is the one that is calling a soul to that. And so let us take this opportunity, you know, as I say, especially from the fact of our pilgrimage that we're going to try to help to awaken vocations, praying for the strength of vocations. But then understanding the idea of a pilgrimage itself. We are making this in the spirit of reparation. We are making this to try to give honor and glory to God. So again and again, we come back to that idea and that sense of what is a pilgrimage? Why are we making a pilgrimage? What are we trying to accomplish by that? And we need to have that true sense and that true spirit of that. But then also then to try to help to foster, you know, Catholic vocations from Catholic homes. And so may this a perfect time for you to reflect on your home life. How is my home life? What is it like? Is it something that would foster vocations possibly? Or is it something that's kind of runs contrary to the spirit of a vocation? And if that's the case, that has to change for us. So I say, let us pray for these graces and let us ask for Almighty God to bless, obviously, the society to continue on the path of leading souls in the traditional Mass, the traditional faith, that we have that understanding of this battle that we against the world. And as you see and hear, the spirit of, you know, a mammon going toward him, spirit of iniquity, talking about that. Again and again, we see our Lord talking about you can't serve two masters. And so therefore, we've got to choose who we want to follow. So I'll leave you with words from today's Mass. For whosoever are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.